It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, it's good being with you again today on It's a Good Life. And let me remind you, it is a good life living for the Lord, knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, the scripture that we use for the study of the book of Romans is taken from the Word of God, the King James Bible. And I trust that you'll have your Bible open as we study the Word of God. Well, today we want to pick up with Romans chapter 7 and verse 3. Well, the first part of that verse says, "So then, if, while her husband liveth." Well, we looked at somewhat about this last time, but as we've studied, and it says a married woman is bound to her husband while he lives. And in verse 2 it says, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." Well, what the apostle is trying to show us here is that in marriage, each party is equally bound to the other, but that the death of either one dissolves the arrangement. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25, it says this, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Well, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 goes on to say, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband." The husband, you see, the husband is not to, if I can use the term, lord it over the wife. And neither is the wife to lord it over the husband. But they are equally bound together, one to the other. When verse 3 of Romans chapter 7, we're going to read that now, the rest of that verse, it says, "So then if, while her husband liveth, she is married, or she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Well, in other words, it's speaking here once again, as we've studied the word, Paul is likening this to our lives as Christians. And what he is trying to show us here is that you cannot be true to Christ while trying to serve the law. You can't be married to one and be faithful to one if you are unfaithful, if you are looking to someone else to fulfill what you need or what you're looking for, you're being unfaithful. Christ is all in all. While he is all, we need to be, as saved people, true to him. Now, I would remind you once again that Paul is not speaking to an unsaved person here, but he is speaking to saved people. And this is actually a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Now, once again, let me remind you, this is not the Roman Catholic Church. This is the church, the one Jesus Christ died for. And that's made up of born-again believers. Of course, he died for everybody in this world. If they will simply trust him, let Christ come into their lives and save them so that one day they'll be able to see him personally. And actually, while they're here, that allows them to be serving Christ. Well, this, once again, is a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he's letting these people know that they are free from the law. Well, the law was the schoolmaster. It brings us to the knowledge of Christ, bringing us to a knowledge of knowing that we couldn't save ourselves. It brings us to a knowledge of sin. There's no way we can save ourselves. It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is trying to show us in these verses and other verses that we've already read. You can't be true to Christ and try to serve the law or try to do good works to go to heaven. There's nothing wrong with good works, but Paul's saying don't do that to try to go to heaven because it's not there. You can't do that. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You've got to serve one or the other. And Paul says you need to be serving Christ in our study of Romans here. You need to be serving Christ because he's the one who saved you. Now, in Romans chapter 7, verses 4 through 6, we see that dying to the law gives purpose. There's a purpose for this. In verse 4, it says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Well, purpose number one here is that Paul is trying, he's trying to let us understand. He's saying to realize that the death of Christ makes us dead to the law, and in likeness of marriage, we are married to Christ. Well, then we see in Romans chapter 7 and verse 4 and the rest of that verse in verse 5, it says, "We should bring forth fruit unto God." Verse 5, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." Well, remember this, that when sin is conceived, it brings forth death, according to the Scriptures. It says the wages of sin is death. And, you know, Paul's already told us this in chapter 6. So purpose number 2, once again, as we've seen purpose number 1, purpose number 2 is to bring fruit to the glory of God instead of glorifying death in serving the law. You see, when we're trying to work, that's pointing to the fact that it's glorifying death. Because anything that person does to go to heaven and other than trusting Jesus Christ is wrong. We're not to glorify sin or death. We're to glorify the Lord. When we try to work our way to heaven, that's works. Well, now, once again, he's speaking to saved people here who have really trusted Jesus as Savior. But some people today even think they have to work to keep their salvation. Well, God says, "I've saved you forever." Don't doubt God's word here. And once again, as a saved person, we need to be putting forth Jesus Christ as a Savior as the only way to heaven. Well, notice purpose number 3 in verse 6 of Romans 7. Paul says this, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein ye were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Once again, how do people who read the Bible, my thought is this, why do they not understand as this verse says? I'm going to read it again, verse 6 of Romans 7. "But now we are delivered from the law." How in the world does a person think they're going to be saved or stay saved by doing the law? Because it says here, we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. It's like being held captive. And it goes on to say that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We have been set free by Jesus Christ, who kept the law. Now, once again, and I may say this later on, once again, we're not saved by the law and we're not saved by Christ keeping the law. We are saved by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Man cannot become a new creature until he has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Salvation did not come through the law, then salvation does not keep a person saved. It's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ that were saved and kept saved. It's through His blood. We have eternal life because we trust Him. We trust His blood to take away our sin. Well, once again, Christ did not come to destroy the law, but He came to fulfill the law. And we cannot be saved by keeping the law. The law was given to us to bring us to a knowledge of sin, to a knowledge of knowing we could not save ourselves. In Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 23, the Bible teaches us that the law has limitations. And we've been talking about this. Once the law cannot save, and verse 7 says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." Well, what Paul's saying here is it's pretty straightforward. He's saying that the law is not sin, but rather it identifies or makes sin known. It brings us to the knowledge of sin. And verse 8 goes on to say, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Without the law, I didn't even know that what sin was." Paul's saying here, and without the law, we do not know what sin is and what it was in our lives. He goes on in verse 8, and he talks about there, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead." Sin was dead, but in attempting to keep the law, he's saying here, aiming at external conformity, the claims of the law in Paul's heart was unfelt. In other words, we do not keep the law once again to be saved, and we look to the law. The law brings us to a knowledge of sin. And sin, once we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, sin's dead. Well, notice in verse 9, he says, "For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 once again says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, then, we've seen in Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death." Well, Paul says sin revived. In other words, the power of sin, which was before dormant, became alive and active. Then the commandment came, the realization of what law was saying about sin and what the result of sin was or is. Might I say that the Bible wakes us up. The law wakes us up to a realization that we can't save ourselves. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by the law. The law brings us to that knowledge of sin in our lives, and we can't save ourselves. We can't keep the law in order to go to heaven. I trust today that you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do not know Him today, you need to know Him today. You need to call upon Him and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for sin. I've changed my mind, Lord. I can't go to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. Lord, I realize now that You are the one who can save me, and I want to receive You as my Lord and Savior. Please save me." Now, if you get serious with God, He'll get serious with you, and He'll save you because Jesus came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.